It's weekend edition of Life Change. So glad you're listening into our program today. This is Dino Padron chatting with you. And on weekends, of course, we have various people that come and join us. Sometimes they are authors who have written books. Sometimes we have people that come on who have had situations in their life of testimony that they give to us. And of course, there are others who come and teach us. And today we're going to be learning a number of issues that are very important in life about our devotional life, about walking with God. I recently did a number of posts and live streams on the subject of the book of Daniel. And some of the greatest prophecy in all of the scriptures are found there in the book of Daniel. And it's fascinating when we find that the book of Daniel is often compared to Revelation. In fact, at the Bible college I was once at, we used to have Daniel Revelation taught into one course because of their similarity. But the thing that always impressed me about that book was that Daniel was a man of prayer, somebody who really prayed. I'm glad to have a dear friend on with me, Pastor Bill Snyder. He's the pastor of the Tropical Farms Baptist Church in Stuart, Florida. Every year I have the privilege of going there and speaking at a Bible conference. There's a number of churches I go to on conference grounds where I go to and give Bible conferences. And one of my favorites is right there. I think it's a favorite because of my dear friend Bill Snyder and his wife Carol being there. And one of the things that has so admired me about Bill through the years is his walk with God. And the fact that he really spends much time in prayer. I think it was about a year ago, Bill, we had you on and we had you share some things about your lessons in prayer. And I remember a number of people wrote, especially one pastor from Tampa, that said it kind of revolutionized his life, what you shared that day. So, Bill, it's good to have you back on again. And how are you doing today?
I am doing very well, Pastor Dino. It's a great privilege for me to be able to be sharing with you today of the things that people have poured into my life that I can share with others to encourage them.
Yeah, that's a great thought, isn't it, how people pour into our lives. Well, Bill, one of the topics that you and I talk a lot about, I so admire in your life because it's more than just conversation with you, it's a lifestyle. Is how that you want to spend time with God. Most of us talk about that, Bill, but sometimes we struggle getting there with it. What took place in your life that drove you into the prayer life that you have?
Well, as a very young boy, my mother was walking through the church in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, and we went to a very small room. And in that room, and honestly, I remember it to this day, she said, "This is where Dr. Clyde W. Menas prays." And that really made a profound impact upon my life because I wasn't a Christian then. I was so young. I just didn't comprehend it all. But I never forgot it, that I knew something very significant took place in that room. And that was probably the first time that I can remember that the Holy Spirit ministered to me of the necessity of prayer in my life, even though I wasn't a Christian.
Now, Bill, tell us a little bit about the man you're talking about, Dr. Clyde Meadows, pastor of the King Street Brethren, United Brethren Church. Tell us a little bit about his ministry.
Well, as a young child, again, I wasn't a Christian, but I remember his life, and I remember that God had greatly used him at a time when our country was coming out of the Great Depression. He was a man that built a great ministry, a large ministry at that particular time in a small town. He raised money, and I just would listen to my mom and dad talk about the money that God poured through that man's hands to be able to build that great church, even to this very day, and that he received those things and answered a prayer. So there was an anointing upon his life that captivated me, that grew me, that somehow or another, I wanted to be able to follow in that man's steps.
Mm-hmm. And what age were you, Bill, when you came to Christ?
I was 22 years of age.
Mm-hmm. So this happened when you were young, and that seed of the Word of God in that man's life and prayer stuck right with you, didn't it?
It did. It did. And I remember when I was just trying to seek the Lord and find the Lord at a time back in the 60s, that I was in Dallas, Texas, and I was there at Expo 72. And when I was there, I met him in the lobby, and I was absolutely shocked that I met him. And I said, "Could I talk to you, Dr. Meadows?" And he said, "Well, come up to my room," that he was staying there at that particular time. And I went up to his room, and I really didn't know what to say. I was just drawn to him. I didn't understand it all. And he looked at me, and he said, it could it be that God is calling you into the ministry? Well, I about fainted. And I've been in the ministry ever since. And God just opened the doors. But God used that man in his walk with God as the Holy Spirit ministered through him to minister to me.
You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dina Padrone chatting with you. And our guest is Pastor Bill Snyder of the Tropical Farms Baptist Church in Stuart, Florida. Our broadcast goes out across many parts of the world now, Pastor Bill. And I think last time you were on, we were on the network, the wonderful Montrose Broadcasting Network, that is in northern Pennsylvania and south New York. And today we're on in East Africa. And then, of course, through the online broadcast that we're now on, we're on several times a week. That literally sweeps across the globe. And so there are many people out there that know much about prayer. There are many in the mission field that know about prayer. And you talk about purifying your motive in prayer. That's an interesting thought, purifying your motive. What does that mean?
Well, when I became a Christian, my wife was not a Christian at that particular time. She, you know, believed in God and those particular things, but she was not born again. She did not have ever trusted Christ as her personal Savior. And I was saved, going to church every Sunday. And I remember sitting in the pew at the Brethren Church that you were referring to under Dr. Meadows. And I would look around and I would see men coming in with their wives and family. And so I wanted my wife with me. So I went home and I began to pray and intercede at my house for my wife's salvation. Well, as clear as a bell, I remember praying for her salvation, but my motive was wrong. And he revealed a verse of scripture to me, found in the Gospel of John, that we need to be able to seek God and he will answer us if his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is glorified. Anything you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Son may be glorified in the Father, or the Father may be glorified in the Son. And I changed my prayer, and it was a very short amount of time after that I began to really realize that prayer is for the motive of bringing glory to Christ. And she was saved and soundly saved and born again. And that was a principle that I'm reminded of often. I deviate from it, but nonetheless, the most important thing in life to the Father is that his Son would be glorified.
Pastor, help us out a little bit here, Pastor Bill, with the idea of glorifying God. I think many of our listeners are familiar with that term. Many understand it perhaps well, but many don't really know what we're talking about when we talk about glorifying God. How do you define that? How do you describe that idea of glorifying God?
Boy, that's a big subject. That's a loaded question. One of the things that I have been doing recently, and that when I say recently, I mean probably in the last few months, is that God is doing a work in my heart, and I'm far away from completion. But when I preach or before I preach, like on a Saturday night or it's getting close to Sunday, I ask the Lord to begin to work in my heart and to begin to purify my motives of seeing how desperately the Father wants his Son glorified. And so I have to empty myself of self. There can be none of me. And that's a process that I am a long way off at working at, but I'm working on it. And it seems like the Lord just nudged me maybe 2 or 3 months ago. And it's something that I always have to really labor at. Because our hearts are so deceitful and yielding to the Holy Spirit and saying, God, help me, that as I take this pulpit or whatever I do today, help me, enable me, continue to teach me that Christ would be glorified and manifested in my life. And there's a tremendous satisfaction, and there has been a tremendous satisfaction as I'm beginning to do that, but I have a long way to go, Pastor.
Well, Bill, thank you for that excellent explanation there. That really does open up a lot of things we could talk about. If you're listening into Life Change Weekend, this is Dina Padrone chatting with you. And my guest today is Pastor Bill Snyder, a dear friend of mine for many, many years. I want to remind you that you can get a copy of the book, True Spiritual Identity, How Does God See Us? True Spiritual Identity takes us to an ancient book drawing out a remarkable concept of how God sees his children. In this lonely and personal world we live in, there is hope and purpose based upon what God says about his family. Once this truth is understood, a whole world of blessing waits at the doorstep of the reader. I encourage you to get the book, True Spiritual Identity. This is the last book I've written, How Does God See Us? And you can simply call this number and get it at 800-800-473-5106. That's 800-473-5106. Or you can go to Amazon or any bookstore and simply ask for the book. If they don't have it, they will order it for you from Trilogy. There are many churches now, and there's many Bible study groups that are going on using this book as the guide. Each chapter has questions and discussion issues at the end of it, and I believe it'll be a real blessing to your life. So the place to call again is 800-473-5106. Now, Bill, give us some practical advice here about your prayer life. You get up in the morning. Obviously, you start your day off with whatever you do, but do you sit down in a chair and start praying? Do you get on your bike and start writing? I mean, what is it that you do in a very practical sense? Many of our listeners have to get up in the morning. They have to get their children to school. They have to run off to work. There's things that they do. You know, we talk about a good prayer life here. How do you do it? You're a busy pastor. How do you do this?
Well, you know, one of the things that I am realizing in my life, like you just mentioned, all of us have different schedules, and we are better at some parts of the day than some at other parts of the day. I am a morning person, but I think God is really doing a work in my heart, realizing I'm 73 years old, and I realize that you only have so long to live. And going back to your last question about glorifying God, there's something very, very gratifying and satisfying whenever we deny self. And I realize my inability to be able to do anything in and of myself that would bring glory to Him. So years ago, when I was in Bible school, and I went to Lynchburg, Thomas Rowe Baptist Church at the Institute there in chapel, at chapel time, there were many, many speakers that just really challenged me. And a lot of work that was done in my heart was done there in those chapels. I realized, Lord, whatever you have me to do, there's no way that I'm ever going to make it in and of myself, and I have to learn how to pray. As a matter of fact, when we were, my wife and I were working at your church there, I would ask all the preachers that would come through, you know, tell me about your prayer life, your Bible reading life. And each and every one of them, you know, answered it that they wish they would have spent more time in the scriptures and more time in prayer. Well, I took note of that. And so I realized that if I was ever going to be able to accomplish anything in ministry, I needed to be able to discipline myself. So being a morning person, I get up in the morning. I make a pot of coffee, and I prop my Bible up on the table. And I usually read for maybe an hour, sometimes less, different places in the Bible. And then I think I learned from Dr. Lehman Strauss, who was a preacher, a past preacher here in America that I read a lot of, that he would go out and pray out of the Bible that he read. In other words, the scriptures that meant something to him. I usually walk, now living in Florida because it's so hot in the summertime. I ride my bicycle. But one of the things that is really important is that I walk away from people if I can, ride my bike away from people if I can, and to be able to ask the Holy Spirit to help me to be able to pray what is on His heart for me on that particular day. And it's a work in process, but it's very gratifying, it's very fulfilling, and I fall down many times, but the Lord is so gracious, He gets me back up again. So it's pretty much just going into the closet and shutting the door and closing the world out of my mind and thoughts with no distractions. And he really, really is a merciful God. And it's more important what I hear from Him than what I say to Him. And I'm learning so much more about listening rather than talking.
Yeah, you know, that's a tremendous statement, Bill, because as you were sharing there, I was going to ask you that very question. I think it was R.A. Torrey, the great evangelist of many years ago, that said, when he was asked, would there be anything he would do different in his end of his life than what he did? And he said, what I would do is read the Bible more than I prayed. And I thought that was a fascinating statement. And basically, you kind of said that right then. You read the Bible, but listening is important. And I've learn in my own prayer life, Bill, that many of my prayers come out of my scripture reading, what God has said and spoken to me. How do you feel about that quote? I mean, that's quite an alarming quote from one of the outstanding national evangelists of his day. How do you feel about that quote that he gave?
Well, it is so true. I think age has to do a lot with it. And in the gratifying sense of, you know, that the Lord is so inexhaustible. And no matter with all the things that are happening in our world, including all of us, no matter where we are in our world, that it is so important to be able to read the scriptures and to be teachable. One of the quotes that I use Sunday that really helped me, and especially in a crisis in my life when my wife was diagnosed with cancer, somebody sent her a card, a get well card. And in that card, there was a quote concerning Uzziah, King Uzziah in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles. And it said, he set himself to seek the Lord. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That really stuck with me all these years now, that as long as I'm seeking God in his word, but then again, that word listening, you know, like Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, she listened. Her ear was attentive. Her ear was bent toward the Lord. And there were so many things that she could have done in helping her sister Martha, but she chose to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. And that is really a challenge. It's difficult for me, but it is so rewarding. And again, I'd like to say this. It's not the amount of Bible that you read, for me anyhow. It's that portion of scripture where you read it, you meditate on it, you think about it, you maybe journal it, you highlight it, you underline it. And that's what goes down into the soul. And that's what you think about all day long. Again, I'm a student and I'm learning. But it is so marvelous of the things that God is teaching whenever we pay attention to his word and then meditate and mull over it.
One of the emails I got the other day, Bill, was from one of our listeners who said that they were struggling in their prayer life because they would get up in the morning and get so busy and forget to pray. And they felt like they tried a list one time, and other times they tried to go to a certain room and spend time, but they were so preoccupied with life, it seemed like they really just didn't have time to pray, and they were kind of guilty about it. What advice would you have for somebody like that?
Well, that is a tremendous question, and the Lord is helping me. I'm using the present tense, is helping me. I haven't accomplished it. But one of the things that really helped me with the many different books that God's placed in my hand is that when I begin my prayer time, after reading the scripture, I endeavor, I'm not good at it, but I'm endeavoring to look around and to worship him and to thank him. And most of all, going back to the cross, thinking of how God has blessed me in my life, and looking at nature and just marveling and really taking in the wonder of it all. But thanksgiving and worship has really helped me in this particular area that you're talking about, because other than that, you just have a list that you go over and nothing really much happens. But when we elevate the Lord and we worship him and lift him up, I look at all kinds of animals of where I live. There's birds, there's little animals, there's flowers, and I try to take it in. And that has really helped me, and it's a tremendous question and something we all need to really work at, it of looking at the wonder of it all, or even great hymns like How Great Thou Art, or whatever music really appeals to you that elevates the greatness and the awesomeness of our God.
Yeah, that's a wonderful answer, Pastor. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dina Padron chatting with you. Our guest is Pastor Bill Snyder of the Tropical Farms Baptist Church in Stuart, Florida. And again, we're reminding you to get the book, True Spiritual Identity, How Does God See Us? This is a book that the Lord really laid on my heart, and Trilogy Books called me and asked me if I would write on this topic for them, and I did so. And it's a book that talks about how God sees us. In the world that we live in today, there's a big question, how does God really see us with all the wickedness going on? True Spiritual Identity takes us to an ancient book drawing out a remarkable concept of how God sees his children. In this lonely and personal world we live in, there is hope and purpose based on what God says about his family. Once this truth is understood, a whole world of blessing waits at the doorstep of the reader. You can get the book by simply calling 800 800-473-5106. That's 800-473-5106. Or you can go to Amazon or any bookstore. Barnes & Noble can get it for you and simply order the book. It's through Trilogy Publishers of California. We want the book to be a blessing to your life. Now, let's ask this question, Pastor Bill. It's a question I know you've answered many times, but I think it really is important. In our prayer life, does duty alone sustain us?
Oh, boy, is that a good question. No, it does not. It does not sustain us. And I struggle with that in the past. It is good. I think duty has its place. But the most important thing comes out of answering the last question that you asked me, and that is learning how to enjoy the Lord. And by that, how do you enjoy the Lord? I think gratitude. And again, just really cultivating a heart that, what does God really enjoy? He enjoys His Word. He enjoys His Son, and yielding to the Holy Spirit of God, but just having a heart full of gratitude and praise and worship. And that is helping me tremendously, because I notice when I go to the Lord in prayer, and there's days where I bring the list, and it's so important, you know, things that are on my mind, people that are sick and the world situation, family, and just life in general, that my soul comes up empty. So I really have been learning to use the scripture in the book of Psalms. Why art thou discouraged, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted or agitated within me? And that term, hope in God, there's always hope in God, and just really enjoying Him. And that's what I'm learning. And it's a wonderful, wonderful lesson to continue to work at and not be discouraged on.
You know, Bill, some time ago, I had a Sunday off from preaching, and my wife was ill. I couldn't go with me. So I went to a church I had not been to probably in over a year. I attend there maybe once a year. And I go there because of the worship music, and also the preaching is so biblical. And I remember walking in. I just really wanted to spend time with God there in that congregation. I kind of sat in the balcony, tried to get off by myself. And immediately two ladies came and sat next to me, and they began talking. And so I talked with them. I really wanted just the time alone there for a while. The service was very powerful. But in the course of the conversation, they were asking about what I did, and I told them about traveling and speaking and so forth. And they asked about my wife, and I briefly told them about my wife's illness. And as I was leaving the church, they both came up deeply sincere and said, "Give us your wife's name. We will be praying for her regularly." I preach in churches, and many times I get cards and letters from people I don't know who say, "We pray for you and your wife regularly." Your church does that. You do that, Pastor Bill. I know how that makes me feel. Why is that so important when people sincerely do that?
I think probably one answer that I would have is God has people that have that gift of hospitality, and they're sensitive to the Spirit, and the Lord sends them by to encourage us. And I take that, I take that way, that it is the Lord that sends them by. And it just really is a confirmation of God's love for us, that those people would care enough to come by. And may the church that I pastor have many, many people like that. May I be like that. Because that's really what is gratifying in the world in which we live, in all the illnesses and the heartache and the sorrow. We have to be people of light. And the only way we can be people of light and also salt is to be around the light of the world. And light has to come into our heart as we realize how the sovereign grace of God and His mercy in our lives. Those two women, I would take them that the Lord sent them by. And that would really gratify me and uplift me of how much the Lord loves me.
Yeah, they're like angels unaware, aren't they, Pastor Bill?
Without a doubt.
Bill, we have probably less than 1 minute here. Just give us your final thought on prayer that's on your heart today.
I think the big thing that the Lord is teaching me is to, when I go to the place of prayer, wherever that place is for anybody today, that the Lord is already there waiting for us. We go into that place, wherever it may be, and we shut the door and we talk to our Father in secret. And the big thing is shutting off all distractions, because he's a jealous God. And like a husband with a wife in the place of intimacy, God really wants to be with us, his children, alone.
Thank you, Pastor Bill. I guess there's one other thing I would ask of you, is that every once in a while I want you to come on this program and share these kind of thoughts, because this is, I think, one of the great needs today. And I love the way that you not just talk about it, but I know that you have lived it. I've known you a lot of years, and I know that you live this, and you do your best to do that. And I know your church congregation loves you, and I think one of the big reasons is because of this heart for God that you have. You've been listening to Life Change Weekend. Again, I want to remind you to get the book, True Spiritual Identity. You can call 1-800-473-5106. 800-473-5106, and get a copy of this book that I think is life-transforming about how God views us today. Don't forget our Bible study Monday through Fridays that we have, and every weekend we have the weekend edition. So glad to have you listening in to us today. God bless you.